Welcome to Double Fries No Slaw Super Bowl Sunday, Richie. Exciting day. How's your weekend been so far?
It's been pretty solid. Went and got to play some golf yesterday, which was nice because I was very sick basically Monday through Thursday. You know, fought through it, only called out one day, no big deal. But yeah, it's been a nice weekend, relaxing, and it, you know, got to Publix this morning. Of course, I'm that guy that waits till Super Bowl Sunday to go shopping for the Super Bowl, and you know, had to, you know, freestyle a few things because they didn't have what I was looking for some items, but still pretty excited to do this, and then you know, go spend some time in the kitchen and just watch this pregame. It's a national holiday. How about you, man?
Yeah, I haven't. I still haven't even gone to Publix yet. Although it's just me and Kara, so like, I mean, we're not really going that crazy. I've been a little sick too, so yeah, we're not going real nuts. So I need to go to Publix after this. So I'm even worse than you are with this stuff. But yeah, it's been a good weekend. I went to Tallahassee. I was up there for, I don't know, about a day, maybe a day and a half or so. Actually, not even that. Not even 24 hours. But was up there, had a good time. And let's jump into it. I want to get on this pregame show too. So, Double Fries No Slaw brought to you by Guthrie's. I did slide by Guthrie's while I was in town, so that was always fun. 1818 West Tennessee Street or 2550 North Monroe or 2870 Appalachian Parkway. Make sure you get your gut box Double Fries No Slaw. All right, Richie, you had, and we'll go through and talk about some of these things specifically, but you had a unique opportunity last night to hear from a few people, Mike Norvell, Michael Alford, others there in Orlando at the booster event. How did that go? Let's go through each thing here on your line item, but just kind of an overall. Let's start there.
Yeah, I just thought it was a really well-done event at the Renaissance right by SeaWorld over there. So literally less than 2 miles from my house. So it definitely was not upset with that. And yeah, just a really well-run event. You know, we're waiting for the doors to open at 7. So Lindsay and I get to the bar, you know, we have a drink, and then I'm walking by, I run into our buddy Sinone, and got to talk with him for a little bit.
The worst.
He was the only media member that I saw there. I'm pretty sure there were others, but it was good catching up with him. And then I ran into Alford in the hallway as well, outside the conference rooms, chatted with him for a minute, and, you know, always good to hear from him and see him. But the event, just really well done. You know, they had a photo line for everybody. And it, literally within like 20 minutes, they probably had everybody in that conference room through there. And it was a full conference room. There was, you know, standing room only. And they had, I think, all three ballrooms there. Just a very well done. You know, they didn't even advertise that there was going to be an all-you-can-eat buffet, but they did have one with sliders and chicken thighs. The food was pretty good. It's, you know, standard hotel conference food, but I wasn't complaining about it. I thought it was really cool. Mike was super engaged with all the fans. He literally, every gentleman that walked up to get their picture taken with them, he shook their hand and thanked them for coming. And every lady that walked up there, he gave them a big hug. You know, it was the highlight of Lindsay's night, saying she got to get a hug from Mike Norvell. Just a really fun event. You know, they've come a long way from what they used to be. And this was just well organized and just a lot of fun. And everyone I spoke with, people that, you know, I didn't even know, they were all had the same thoughts. Ran into several people who wanted to shout out Double Fries No Slaw, said they really enjoy the show. So I appreciate you guys out there. I even had one guy asking for, you know, home decor tip about the brick wall behind me. So it was pretty cool to experience overall.
Heck yeah. Let's get into a little bit of what Mike talked about. What we'll kind of just go through your list, some of the notes that you have here. First thing up was topics on the annual fund, just donation, stadium renovations, premium seating. You said Alford talked a little bit. We talked a little bit about this on our last show. Alford talked a little bit about the renovations, the reasons behind it. Obviously, there's a lot of people that are not in love with this. We got comments on all sides of this, you know, good, bad, and indifferent when we did our video on this last week. But what were some of Alford's thoughts? What were some of his big takeaways and reasonings behind what's going on at Doak? You might be on mute.
Yeah, I lost you there for a second. AirPods were messing up. Sorry. So had to do a audible here. But yeah, you know, he talked about the renovations and basically preemptively said, you know, I understand some people are going to be upset about this, but he made a very good point. And I thought this was very, you know, intentional. He was comparing the amount of percentage of seats that are premium seating in Doak compared to premium seating in two conferences, the SEC and the Big Ten. And he made sure to point that out. He said prior to the renovations that 10% was premium seating. Post-renovations, it'll be 13%. And he said, you know, right now, Florida State is not maximizing the revenue they can get from the stadium itself compared to the average of the, again, SEC and Big Ten. He was very specific to mention that multiple times. He's clearly making a point of, you know, where we're going and what we want. And, you know, college football is a business about dollars right now. And if you don't have the dollars to compete, you will fall behind. And Mike Norvell, you know, sees through that and beyond that. And he's excited and, you know, ensured that, you know, it's still going to be a great experience at Dope Guys regardless. I feel fully confident after hearing him speak and just seeing the plans that are going on. Obviously, this year is going to be a little funky with about 50,000 fans due to construction. But 2025 and beyond, it's going to be a beautiful venue, an amazing experience. He was adamant about that. But again, he kept going home to, we need to be financially competitive with the SEC and Big Ten. And, you know, stop short of saying, listen, guys, we're going to be in one of those conferences here in the very near future. We need to make sure when we get there, we're ready and prepared and we're on the same leveling as they are. So I thought he did a very good job explaining it. Even spoke to some people at our table that had season tickets for 40 plus years that are going to have to relocate their seats. But, you know, even they mentioned, you know, after Mike was in talking, how, you know, it makes sense. And this is what's best for the university. So I know some people are a little upset about it, but trust me, Norvell has the university's best interest. That is his top priority. He's not just doing this to say, oh, I've turned Florida State into a semi-NFL stadium. No, this is about maximizing the revenue we can get from Doak. And I thought he did a great job explaining that to the audience.
Yeah, at the end of the day, you're never going to do you're never going to make everybody happy with it, right? And you're always going to get complaints, and there are always going to be people who are just like, man, this is a terrible decision for FSU, and this is a terrible decision for my family. And, you know, at the end of the day, I mean, Michael Alford's the one that's going to have to answer for this. So, like, if this really helps FSU in the long run, great. If not, then I don't know, probably cost him his job. And I certainly do trust him. Like, I certainly am not implying that I think it's going to, he's making bad decisions or is going to fail here. But, you know, there's no way to make everyone happy. And that's the biggest takeaway. And at the end of the day, if you can't make everyone happy, then you just have to do what's best for FSU. And that's going to upset some people. And I get it. If I were in, actually, my seats are impacted just for what it's worth. I, you know, have I think I've had them for 3 or 4 years. So it's not like I've had them for 40 years, but my seats are impacted on the home side, you know, fairly good seats on like the 35 yard line. Like if I could keep those seats, I'd love to. I also understand that I've been paying a lot less for those seats than most people in America are paying for their college football seats that yes. are that good, you know? And so that's the one thing that, you know, it's hard to tell people, you know, like, oh, well, you've been getting a good deal for 20 years because nobody wants to hear that in that situation. But I've definitely been getting a good deal for the last 4 years from where mine are. So frustrating. You're not going to make anybody feel better, but good to hear, you know, them. At least they're hearing that stuff, you know, and addressing it and not just like, oh, we're just going to put it completely out of our mind and we're just going to be full steam ahead. At least he's like, hey, look, I know some of you hate this. Some of you are disgusted with us right now. At the end of the day, this is still what we're doing. But, at least he addresses it, I suppose. Anything else on Mike? Mike being pretty, pretty animated, pretty excited, pretty hyped about the season. Anything that he's sharing during the off season that you thought was noteworthy?
Yeah, I mean, look, and this is a friendly crowd. It's like a politician hosting a rally, so of course the support's going to be there. But I was surprised. He was very high energy. And, you know, before the booster event last night, he was actually at the Nike Coaches Clinic and spoke for an hour and 20 minutes on stage there. So he goes from that to this setting. Again, from the moment he stepped up for the photo line, he was just high energy. You could feel it. You could feel the excitement in the room. He drew several applauses from the audience. You know, it was what you'd expect, right? You know, it's the best offseason he's ever had to this point. You know, really excited about the team. He was very complimentary of the players. The players they brought in, Darius Washington was there. You know, he made sure to point him out and give him several shout outs throughout the program. But it's pretty much what you expected from a booster event where, you know, you're just there to get people excited and get people to, you know, give more money. And I think he certainly accomplished that last night. You know, I always like getting my wife's perspective on things like that because she's not the fanatic that we are. She had a great time. She thought it was really good, really excited. So I just think it was just fun overall. And Mike, you know, he commands presence in the room, right? It just, when he's speaking, all eyes are on him. Everybody's listening. And I think he did a great job of getting people excited for, you know, the off season. You know, he talked a little bit about the opportunity to go to Dublin to open the season. We'll be there. Cannot wait. He closed out by basically saying, I can't wait to see you all, whether it's in Dublin or Tallahassee. And, you know, it was just a well-done event. And, you know, obviously he wasn't talking a bunch of X's and O's and things like that and recruiting and different things. It was more general approach to kind of knowing the room. And I think, you know, I put down, he gets it, right? He understands the position he's in. He thanked everybody in there multiple times for the support. I think he is, you know, we definitely have the right guy for the job right now.
Yeah, it's good too, because I think we all kind of like wallowed in the self-pity of what happened in December, right? With, you know, the snub and then, you know, some signing day, you know, frustration. I think we only had one transfer in December, being Marvin Jones Jr. And so there just wasn't, man, after the ACC championship, there just wasn't a lot of excitement in December, right? Like, it was just like, man, this month sucks. Like, get out of here. January, much better with a lot of transfers. You know, obviously you picked up Amari Williams. Not that, you know, recruiting or like a booster event's going to be excited about, you know, a four-star joining the class or whatever. But like, I think that there's, you know, there's just a better feel right now. You've put some distance between you right now and the snub and everything that kind of like went wrong with Florida State football. And so again, just kind of better spot at this point. Anything else major from it, or is that pretty much all you got?
Nothing that was pretty much crazy? It. Yeah, it's pretty much it. You know, it went from,
they didn't touch on the ACC at all.
They did mention the lawsuits, and Michael Alford, it was funny. Remind me the guy's name that was the MC. It wasn't Culhane. It'll come
to Tom Block.
Wasn't Block either. Either way, but he mentioned that, you know, he made a joke basically when Alford was on stage speaking. He's like, hey, what's going on with all these lawsuits? Any news around that? You know, and the whole, you know, audience gave a good laugh. And obviously he didn't go into details, but they addressed it very publicly and said, yes, we are suing the ACC. Basically, and again, went back to what we talked about with stadium renovations. And the message was, listen, this is not financially liable to you know, have a long-term in this conference. But they openly brought it up. They didn't take audience questions, which typically if an event like this, they don't do that. Like, what are they trying to avoid? No, they addressed all the questions that would have been brought up head on, whether it be the renovations or the lawsuits. Again, Alford, you know, very active in the lawsuits. He couldn't get into a whole lot of detail, but they addressed it head on before. And that was the first question I believe Alford was asked last night.
Yeah, I mean, certainly not an awkward thing, but just like a thing that you can kind of comment on, but you can't comment on. Yeah. So always interesting, because you know it's going to come up. You know, I sat down, I went when he did this in Tampa last year, we hadn't even sued yet. Right. And there was a question, and in the little media breakout, it was me and Brett McMurphy and, Matt Baker and Perry. And he was, you know, it was Norvell. And he's like, I don't know anything about all that, you know? And it was before, obviously we'd even sued or anything, but it's like, it's not like it's not going to get asked. So, okay, recruit. I think that's about it. I think that puts a bow on this. We'll move on and talk some a little more football here in a minute. But recruiting dead period right now, so obviously that's why things were so busy the last few weeks with all the junior days and everybody on campus and just kind of like a flurry of visitors. A little bit dead right now, but nothing real major. Amari Williams in the fold now. I think that had happened right before our last show, so we did already talk about that on the show. Outside of that, Richie. Big day today because today is the Super Bowl.
Yes.
What are your initial thoughts on there?
I've still yet to place a bet. I don't know. I think it feels like everyone's on Kansas City, right? But that line, you know, it started at 2, it's down to 1.5 in San Francisco's favor. But it seems like everyone I'm talking to is saying they're taking Kansas City. I don't know. I think it's going to come down to, you know, Kansas City's defense, and is the stage too big for Brock Purdy? And I think that's going to be a great matchup, because obviously if Brock Purdy, I don't know if you've ever had a quarterback taken last in the draft that's won a Super Bowl before, but, you know, he's got a chance to do so. It's going to be interesting. I'm looking forward to it. You know, that you have a pretty much healthy Christian McCaffrey, who's one of the most electrifying players in football. Pat Mahomes, who's the most exciting quarterback, or at least one of the top, you know, three or four most exciting quarterbacks in the game. And I think their styles are kind of built for each other. I think both teams are probably going to want to play this in a somewhat low-scoring game, because this isn't the Chiefs' offense of old. Like I said, their defense is what's really been stepping it up for them. But San Francisco and what Shanahan runs is just so tough to defend. I think it's going to be a great game, and I will play some wagers on it, but I'm waiting until maybe 4 or 5 o'clock. You know, we'll see, get another beer or two in me, and then let it loose.
Yeah, it's hard for me to pick against the better quarterback. And yeah. I know Purdy's done well, but also the entire, 80% of the money is on, you see this, 80% of the money is on Kansas City to win this thing.
What's weird, if you look at the lines, right, San Francisco's favored, but Mahomes is favored to be the MVP. And only once in history, Super Bowl V, has the losing team had the MVP of the Super Bowl. So, all this stuff is just fascinating to me.
Yeah. 80% of the money is on Kansas City, or 80% of bets. I don't know if it's true money or not.
Yes, probably. Yeah.
80% of the bets, but the top 10 largest bets are all on San Francisco or San Francisco. That's of like this morning. So I don't know if things have changed over the last
is that money hours. Line or on the spread.
All over money okay. line okay. spread. Brock Purdy for MVP. So if you're picking him for the MVP, obviously,
I got you.
You know, yep. So like different San Francisco props, but not like McCaffrey to score a touchdown or anything like that. Like, like winning, basically wins or winning props. So anyway, yeah, really interesting. I don't know. I can't go away from Kansas City. Can't go away from Kansas City. Like that's where I'm picking. And I'll probably be wrong. I think Vegas is going to give everybody a bath tonight.
You're going to take the point and a half, or are you going to take the money line here?
No, I'm going to probably tease it up a little bit. Like, make it four and a half. If they win, like, I'm going to go Kansas City, like, -3. Like, take an alternate line. Because if they're going to, if they win, like, I think they win by, like, a field goal. So, like, at least get some more juice with it. The 1.5 or the money line's, like, the same. Like, to me, that's the same thing.
Yeah.
You know, like, when was the last Super Bowl that like somebody won by less than 3? It's been a long time. I think it was like the Rams, the Rams and Patriots, like way back, wasn't it? Super Bowls aren't typically very close.
No, they're really not, especially when the Bucks play in it.
So yeah, I think it's been a long time since you've had a really close Super Bowl. So Harlan just said, I just want Taylor Swift to win. Yeah, I do. What are your thoughts on the whole Taylor Swift thing? Let's talk about that, then we'll move on.
I have no problem with Taylor Swift. Like, I think it's hilarious seeing guys so upset, like, oh, get her off my screen. You know, I was listening to, I forget, I think it was Pardon My Take, but another sports podcast, and they were talking about Taylor Swift, and they compiled, I think it was the New York Post or New York Times, compiled the time of airtime that Taylor Swift had spent on games, and it was like for a 7-game stretch, and her average was like 27 seconds on screen. So she's not really on screen often at all, but 27 seconds seems like a lot, I guess, because it's probably 3 seconds here, 4 seconds here. So it's multiple times. It's probably like 8 times she's showing, but it's for like 2 or 3 seconds at a time. So, she's not ruining the game for me at all. I like Travis Kelce. I think he's an amazing tight end. I have no problem. And that's the other thing. I don't even know, you know, taking betting out of it, I don't even know if I like either team more or the other. I just want to see a good game. I think in the last close game, probably TJ had to be the 28-3 game, right? The Patriots and Falcons. Cause that wasn't that long ago.
So, but they won by 6.
That was, yeah.
Yeah. Cause like it went to overtime. So it was close, but like they won. So I think, I can, you know, list of Super Bowls.
Taylor Swift doesn't bother me at all.
I thought it was like when New England hit the field goal against the Rams, like was the last time that it's been within 3 points.
Vinatieri? My goodness.
Like the Patriots Rams in 2019 was close, but they scored a touchdown at the very end to make that a 10-point game. They beat the Seahawks by 4. Oh, okay. Okay. So Ravens 49ers was a 3-point game.
Okay.
Which that one was really good.
The Harbaugh Bowl. Yeah.
It's been a long time since you had one that was less. I mean, 3 points is really as close as it's gotten since Giants and Bills in 91. Everything else has been 3 points or more. Yeah. Giants and Bills was a 1 point game. Bills miss a field goal. One of a million. One prop bet you're most confident in, can't say McCaffrey touchdown.
I'm going to say over on the national anthem.
Saw you.
90 and a half seconds. So I was reading, she did the 1997 World Series and it was like 72 seconds or like 77 seconds. And then there's one other big event. It was 79 seconds. This is sitting at 90 and a half. And it seems like Vegas is just begging you to take the under based on her history. And there has not been a Super Bowl national anthem that go less than 90 seconds in, I forget how many years, but it's been a really long time. Like they want to get all their money out of that. I just feel like this is a sucker's bet. Like if you look up her history, you know, she's not even in the 80s and this is at 90 and a half. I think they are begging you to take the under. So I'm going to take the over on that. And I'll probably, I know it never fails.
Wait, let's go through these. Don't do your next one yet. Let's go through them. Okay. Let's see. Let's actually total these up. Throw away our whole season things. But Harlan, let's figure out who actually wins this. I'll go with Richie on the over. Harlan, what you got on 90 and a half for the national anthem? Harlan's got under. All right. So TJ and Richie with over.
Yeah, we're not going to go back and listen to the other ones. We're just going to settle it here.
Yeah, this is all that matters. These are the ones that are really important.
I'll go heads just because 7 of the last 10 have been tails.
I'll go opposite you here. I'll go tails here. Okay, tails is TJ and Harlan. Who do you have winning? Taylor Swift. So I'll go Kansas City.
Yeah, it's just hard to go against them. I'll go KC as well. I mean, we can give a score prediction if we want, since we're clearly taking them. I wouldn't be surprised. I'll say KC 24-20.
I'll go, 28-20 KC. I think it's, you know, they it's not like a blowout, but they win comfortable enough. Harlan, what's your score? 31-28.
High scoring game. Have you seen any other prop bets you've seen? Because I was looking around. Unfortunately, the Hard Rock app doesn't really have a ton of props on there, and that's one of my favorite things.
Yeah, they do if you just scroll over on it.
I did scroll over, but I didn't even see the coin toss or the
I don't know about those specials like
that. Yeah.
But like player props, there's a ton. Yeah, this is not the Taylor Swift prop. I think Kansas City is. I mean, they force feed Kelce, and San Francisco's really good against the run and really good at taking wide receivers away. So I actually like both tight ends to kind of go off. Like Kelce's like 6.5 is a lot of receptions, but Kelce had 6 receptions in the AFC championship game by halftime. He had 3 in the first quarter. And so I really like his over on receptions. His yardage is like 69.5. Nice. I like his over on yardage. He's even money to score a touchdown. And I mean, you know, I don't know that you should necessarily parlay all those three, but man, I think if you took all 3 of Kelce's props, you'd probably hit on at least 2 because they absolutely force feed him the ball. Yeah. And then I think I like the same thing for Kittle. Like I think that Kittle really could go off too. Like he was pretty down in the NFC championship game. He only had like 2 catches for like 30 yards. And so he didn't hit any on any of his stuff, but you know, KC's defense is good too. And so I think going to the tight end is probably a big thing. I like McCaffrey's, you know, to score a touchdown, but I mean, it's like minus 225. Like it's just not good odds. But like, if I had like a guaranteed one, like, I don't know, bet $500 on it to win 200, you know, then maybe McCaffrey scoring a touchdown would be one, but you just have to put so much money down to make anything on that one that I don't think it's worth anything.
Not worth the risk. But I will give the, you know, and they're not a sponsor, not yet this year at least, but the Hard Rock app. So they have some pretty funny things on here. So they have big game specials. They have one, it's called Accounts Receivable. Any Chiefs player with 100 plus receiving yards. One called Rush Hour. Patrick Mahomes or Brock Purdy gets in the end zone. One called Scrambled Legs. Patrick Mahomes and Brock Purdy 10 plus rush yards each. That's a fun one. Christian McCaffrey, any player other than McCaffrey scores the first 49ers touchdown. So if you're in the app, I mean, there's some fun ones you can do on here. You can be like me. I put, you know, $5-$10 on like 10 different bets here, and then I'll do a slightly larger wager on the actual game itself. But, you know, this is, I read somewhere that they're expecting $20 billion to be gambled today, which is just crazy to think about that.
That's nuts. Yeah, they don't. They're not building out those casinos in the desert for.
They're not playing in that stadium they're playing in without.
Yeah, those bets. Due to all that. So, all right. What's on the menu? What are you making today?
So I'm going to do some air fried wings, with a little homemade garnet gold sauce. So always come out really well. Going to do some bacon wrapped jalapeno poppers.
Tell us what is your garnet gold sauce? Is it like Hobbit's, or what do you do?
No, it's just literally some Carolina Gold and some Frank's Red Hot mixed together.
Well, that's pretty good. I mean, that's about what theirs is, isn't it?
Essentially. And then I have a seasoning. It's called Kickin' Chicken for poultry. So I put that with the breading for the wings. But yeah, they're pretty good. Jalapeno poppers. Then we got some dips and some pulled pork for some sliders, some Hawaiian roll sliders. And that's about it. It's just me and Lindsay. You know what? I don't want to have a ton of leftovers, so we're definitely keeping it pretty.
So you're cooking like seven things, bro, and you're going to have leftovers.
Well, the good thing is I have a big team at work, and I'm just taking all the leftovers into work tomorrow, and they can eat it. So.
That's smart. Yeah, we
just give me my Tupperware back, people.
We do a really good a really good sausage dip.
Nice.
That you like has like Rotel tomatoes and jalapenos and cream cheese and stuff. So that's really good on like Fritos.
Real quick on that, Publix, I picked some up today. I'll let you know how it is. They have a chicken bacon ranch dip in the deli.
Oh, see, that sounds amazing. Kara said she saw at Sam's a Buffalo Wild Wings like garlic parmesan dip, which that sounds
phenomenal.
I love their garlic parm. I know this is not what anybody tuned in for. We'll get people mad in the comments, but there's nothing going on this week. So what do you want us to do? We usually do buffalo chicken dip. She's at Publix right now, so she just texted me and said she would go for me. So, bless up. I just finger foods like that, side stuff like that, and
what are you washing it down with?
Oh, I usually just IPAs. Yeah, beer. Yeah. No, I tell you the truth. Nobody tunes in for this either. But whatever, you're gonna hear it. I've had a little bit of heartburn, so yeah. So sausage dip is great for that. But yeah, so bourbon would be too much for me tonight.
Yeah.
Just some I've got some all day IPAs. So yeah. And then after like a few beers, I'll just say screw the heartburn thing and just have some rye.
Exactly.
So okay, let's do this and we'll kind of move on. I think that's all we've got from the Super Bowl. Yeah. ACC win totals came out this week. SEC did as well. Let's talk about some of the highlights. Florida State, Clemson, and Miami all at 9.5, Louisville at 8.5. I think NC State was at 8.5 as well.
So is UNC. Yeah, both in Carolina schools there.
So, automatic lock for me is UNC under. Like, I don't think they're going to be that good.
No.
I don't, you know, I kind of like the Louisville over.
Over, yeah.
I kind of like the Miami under. But I think that could go either way. I just, until I see it, like, I think I've got them at 9 wins, 8 or 9. Florida State's is tough because I'm teetering between 9 and 10.
I wouldn't bet either one of those over or under.
To me, I wish they'd have put ours at 9 and then I would just take the over. I guess that's the same thing. But 9, you'd have the insurance. Yeah. So, any thoughts on win totals that came out? Kind of the same on yours?
Yeah, I'm so torn on Florida State right there because, 10-2, 9-3, neither one would surprise me. I think 8-4, I think 11-1 is more likely than 8-4, to be honest. So I guess I'm probably leaning over, but not really looking to jump on it either way. Looking at North Carolina's schedule, they're out of conferences. Minnesota, at Minnesota, which, maybe a 50-50 game, I don't know. But then they got Charlotte, NC Central, and James Madison. But then they also get Duke, obviously. Pitt, Georgia Tech, Virginia. They do play Florida State in Tallahassee, but then Wake, Boston College, who just lost their coach, but they made a really good hire. So we'll see what happens there in NC State. Yeah, I'm probably leaning the under there too. I think the most interesting thing is both, they're all three, Clemson, Miami, and Florida State being at 9-5. They're basically saying that, the most likely thing is two of those three teams are going to meet in Charlotte. And I have a feeling it's going to be Florida State and Clemson, because that Notre Dame game is probably one of the toughest on your schedule, but it's not a conference game, so it doesn't hurt you if you lose that game in terms of getting to Charlotte. So I would take the under on Miami. Clemson, I'd have to pull their schedule up. Well, they play Georgia, so that's an automatic one loss.
I kind of like their over. So they play Georgia week one, so there's their that's a loss, right? Yeah. They have to go to Florida State, so say they lose that one. Their next toughest game is NC State, but it's at home. Their other out-of-conference is App State and South Carolina, both of those at home as well.
On the table there.
I don't know if that's my internet or yours, but you lagged just a little bit. Yeah, that was definitely Richie, not me. Okay, you back?
Yeah.
I didn't hear what your last thing was. What'd you say?
Oh, I was just saying that, you know, I think, you know, I would not guarantee the over on any Florida State or Miami.
Yeah.
I would collectively, I lean towards the under on all three, but slightly towards the over probably for Florida State, just because, like I said, I don't know. I'm stuck either way. I'm glad I don't have to make that bet today, and we can let the fans adjust the line, and we'll see what it looks like in, you know, July.
Yeah, Florida State should start out 5-0. We've talked about this, and if they start 5-0, then I'm gonna
over's pretty safe.
I just need to see them not like drop a game early that's just stupid or whatever. Clemson's. I think I like Clemson for the over. Their toughest games, NC State, outside of. Let's say they lose to Florida State and Georgia, which they could win, you know, one of those games, more likely that they beat. Their tougher games are, you know, South Carolina rivalry at home, NC State at home, Louisville at home. So, yeah, I think they're more likely to get to 10 than to – I think they'll – you know, they're just a lot better than most of these teams. And I don't think they'll have, like, a Duke letdown like they did last year or Miami letdown. So, the other side of it is the SEC – that one was certainly interesting to see as well. Bama at 9.5, Florida at 5.5, UGA 10.5, Oklahoma 6.5, Texas 10.5. So some of those are pretty interesting. I kind of like the Bama under. I kind of like the UF under, just for what it's worth. Six would be, man, I have a hard time seeing them get to six wins.
To be fair, that's a brutal schedule they have.
Oh, yeah, it is. Like, you know, but it'd be tough for me to see them get into six wins, man. Especially if they lose to Miami to open things up. UGA 10.5 is very interesting. So, I'd lean over there, but they do have a tough schedule, man. They play a lot of really good teams next year. Texas at 10.5. I kind of like the under on that, just because they play Michigan and Georgia. So to me, that's like two losses right there. Well, they could beat Michigan. I'll take that back. They could certainly.
Yeah, they probably split that.
But having the automatic loss, they can't slip up anywhere else. I think I'd lean towards the under on them, but Florida's over under, you know, we read all these off 9, 9, 10, 8, 7. Florida's, you know, over under is looking for a bowl game. So, certainly don't feel bad about that at all and enjoy seeing it. It's gotta be Napier's last year.
Yeah. Yeah. 100%. Especially, I don't know if you saw, but he basically, was hinting to all of the people of influence at the University of Florida, like, yeah, we're going to make some changes to this offensive staff. I might bring in a coordinator. He didn't make a single change. He brought back both their offensive line coaches, who have done absolutely nothing. I think even 7-5, which would be extremely overachieving, might get him fired at this point. I just don't know how he needs probably a 9-3 season, or he needs to knock off Georgia or Florida State at the end of the season. He might be fired before the Florida State game, to be honest. Yeah, I just don't see any way Napier survives this year. And then Lagway takes his check, hits the portal, and, you know, it's back to square one for UF again.
I mean, he's certainly somewhere else once they can him. So, do we have anything else in here? Did I miss anything? All right, I think that's all we got. Lighter week this week. Thanks for tuning in, if you guys were on here. We got some shout-outs, and then I think we'll roll out of here. What you got, Richie?
Yeah, I got two. Shout out Smash GC, Brooks Koepka's team, where he's the captain on the Live Tour. They won the team Live event in Las Vegas. Got to party with Lil Wayne afterwards at the Live Golf Party. Looks pretty cool. And then former Florida State golfer Cristobal Del Solor, he made history. The lowest round ever in a PGA-sanctioned event at a 57. Now, disclaimer, it was a par 70 course, and with elevation, it was playing about 6,200 yards, which is what I play on a weekend, not the typical 7,500, 8,000 yards. But, you know, Jimbo used to say, play don't care who makes it. Well, records don't care who holds them, because he will be in history forever, because no one is going to break a 57 at a PGA sanctioned event ever. So shout out to the former Seminole.
I was up in Tallahassee yesterday, went to the Mike Martin Memorial. I thought that was really good. Really well done, really well put together. A lot of attendance, you know, very, very, very well attended. Most of the bleachers, most of the, you know, chairback seats were filled up. So I thought that was really, really cool, really well done. And it was neat. So, you know, shout out everybody that had a, you know, hand in putting that together. I went by and saw the softball game, saw a little bit of the tennis match that was happening yesterday. And I think Florida State just about swept the weekend, minus basketball. Tough loss last night.
Good effort. Good
for
effort
the men. And then the women lost today in double overtime. So another tough loss there too. But against number 12 Notre Dame, 98.
You see what Tanaya finished with?
Oh, like I think a million.
She had 21 at the half.
Yeah. I don't know what her, I don't know. I can't find it right now, but, see if I can find it real quick.
Yeah, that basketball game real quick. I'll just touch on it, man. To score in the 70s against Virginia, it just doesn't happen very often when it's a Virginia team like this. Florida State really had a chance late. They just, you know, they didn't have enough. It's unfortunate because they were, I think they're 0-for-5 in the first half from deep. They had their chances. They could have won that game, and that's a damn good team. I don't know if you saw, they held Miami to 38 points a week ago. So to go to put 70 plus on them, it's just a outstanding effort. You know, sadly, all your goals for the season are off the table, but it's nice to see they're still out there fighting.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, I wanted to make a joke about how we doubled up what Miami had scored, but when you lose, it doesn't, you know, the jokes just don't hit as well when you're on the losing end as well, but at least we didn't score 38 points. So, all right, cool. Yeah. That's all I got for the show. We'll have more stuff coming out this week. A little bit lighter show, a little bit quicker show. Go enjoy the Super Bowl. Comment who you want to win. And if it's the Chiefs, you know, let me know if it's because of Taylor Swift as well. So thank you guys for tuning in. We'll talk to you soon. Go Noles.